Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on where you are tuning in from, thank you. This is Inspector Bark, also known as Darcy Butkus. I am a private investigator here in the state of Georgia. I own my own detective agency, and I named my detective agency Inspector Bark, sniffing out the best and the worst in canine care. You can find me on Facebook, Inspector Bark. Please, if you can, jump over to Facebook and give my page a like. Appreciate it. We will be discussing other pages, other groups that we would like for you to like and follow. We've got a full two-hour podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and I hate to tell you, but it's about the worst in canine care. One of the other admins that will be coming on the call will tell you that she feels that 90% of animal rescues throughout this country are bad. I disagree with her, and I say 80%. I'm going to meet her halfway. She'll be coming on the show later. I'm going to say 85%. And all of you reputable rescues out there, reputable shelters, this affects you. Because these bad people, these bad apples, are taking donations away from you who are deserving of it. The animals are deserving of it. Today, we are discussing yet again pulling back the curtain on imposters within the animal welfare community. I'm going to continue to use that title, pulling back the curtain on imposters within the animal welfare community. We are seeing it in all levels, from bad transporters, bad rescues, bad shelters, bad veterinarians. And let me first, for you all listening for the first time, if you can't tolerate the words thug, dumb, damn artist, rogue rescue, this show is not for you. If you want to continue to wear those rose-colored glasses and blinders and think that all rescues are wonderful, you continue to keep your head in the sand and sign off now. We live in a very world. If you're not aware of what's going on in this country and in this world, it's about time you wake up. We have seen imposters that have come into the animal welfare industry where they're not putting the animal's needs first and foremost. People witness this firsthand, are afraid to come forward because they're bullied, they're threatened, they're harassed. But let me tell you something, power in numbers. Power in numbers. Oh, they'll threaten you with a lawsuit and all that. Please, let me tell you, let them sue you. Because if they're going to sue you, then they have to sue all the whistleblowers. I'm going to get right to the nitty-gritty because I have people already waiting in the queue. And I want to go into more detail in what we're going to discuss today. And we're going to do a deep dive into who really is behind that curtain, impersonating those who are supposed to help the animals and provide the animals a safe haven. But are they really? Are these so-called rescues putting the needs of the animals first and foremost? Or what about shelter employees? Do they truly care about the welfare of the dogs and the cats? In this episode, we are going to speak with whistleblowers that believe otherwise. On this podcast, my panel consists of Scott Fine. He's the first one that will come on the show. Scott runs a page, and here's another page, please. It's in the body of the email. Everything I present in my emails, I hand to you on a silver platter. All the links are provided for you. The articles, you don't have to look elsewhere. Scott's page on Facebook is Joey's Legacy - Vet Mal Victims. Joey's Legacy, which is his dog that he lost to veterinarian malpractice. It is a private page, folks, so in order to join, you have to answer some questions. But again, that link is in the body of the email that I sent out. If you want to join my email list, shoot me an email, info@inspectorbark.com. Scott's going to be discussing what his team is doing to expose bad veterinarian practices. I'm going to go ahead and bring Scott on right now, and let's go ahead and invite Scott on, and I believe that I have someone else. Sue, you're going to hold off, okay, until I call you into the queue. I know you're listening. Thank you very much for being there, and I'm going to go ahead and let Scott come on right now, and we'll begin with his segment. Hey, Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning, Darcy. How are you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Perfect. Scotty, I want you to go ahead. We've got a few people waiting in the queue. I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about why you formed Joey's Legacy. You're not coming in. I think we lost Scotty. I've got Sue. Sue, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Let me go ahead and put you back in the queue because he just came back on. He must have got disconnected, okay? Hold on. Thanks. You can still listen.
Darcy.
Hey, Scott. Okay, you must have got disconnected.
Hi.
Now I can hear you. Hi.
Okay. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
We are Joey's Legacy, a 501c3 nonprofit organization formed in 2017. We formed our organization after our dachshund Joey became a victim of veterinary malpractice at Daniels Parkway Animal Hospital in Fort Myers, Florida. We decided we were going to search for other victims of malpractice across the country and ultimately across the world. And we found many, many people that came to us looking for assistance. We developed a program where we have a team of 15 veterinarians and over 40 law firms around the country that assist in reviewing medical records, writing opinion letters, and seeking justice through the legal system. What we find is that so many people are misinformed. They've been given bad information by those in the vet community that want to keep all of this under wraps, keep it undercover, and not expose it to the world. But we're here to expose as much as we can to the world. Many people are told that there's no reason to sue a veterinarian if you lose your animal, because when you go to court, you're only going to get about $100. That's one of the biggest myths that ever existed, obviously designed to discourage people from suing veterinarians. We've debunked that myth hundreds of times over the last 5 years through the settlements and small claims actions and civil court actions that have taken place. And we know that I can tell you that part of our settlement with Joey's Vet was a value that we were able to recover that is far in excess of $100, not necessarily focusing on the money part of it or how much money is involved, just the point that settlements are never $100. That's just designed to discourage people from suing vets. We now are also able to sue vets for you know, what we call professional malpractice, basically fraud. For example, we see a lot of what the lawyers call spoliation of evidence. Basically, the vet that was negligent will intentionally leave out documentation in the medical records that would otherwise incriminate them, and hope that the owner never asks for the records. However, we see owners that do ask for records, and when they bring them to us, sometimes they are actually complete and accurate. Quite often they're not. Those are the vets that need to be called out, and those vets are can be charged with common law fraud for not providing accurate, complete records. Vet boards, as many of you may know, tend to look the other way when it comes to disciplinary action for a colleague. They tend to either dismiss the case or impose very, very lenient discipline, perhaps a public reprimand, slap on the hand, $1,000 fine, don't do it again. Quite often, these same veterinarians are habitual offenders and reappear over and over in front of the vet boards. And typically, unless the veterinarian commits an act that's near criminal, such as using veterinary drugs for personal use, vet boards are not really interested in imposing fair and firm discipline. So people should understand that, Scott, before they file their complaint.
Right.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to jump in here, Scott, because I made a call early this morning where I found somebody that was another rescue. She's in the queue right now, and I know she's driving, so I'm going to bring her in. And she owns her own rescue in Texas, and we're going to discuss this particular shelter in Canyon Lake, Texas, but this coincides with what you're discussing. So when I reached out to her, I emailed this woman, and her first name is Tracy, and I said, look, it's short notice. I mean, this was literally 4 hours ago. I said, but I saw you go on a live February 6th calling out this bad shelter, and I want Tracy to come on the line because it's really imperative, and I asked her to forward on the name of the vet, and she's going to tell you the story, Scott, because I think this is a vet that I believe might be one to help expose wrongdoing among the practice. Hold on, let me bring in Tracy right now. Okay, let's see, a few second delay. And
hi.
Okay, I should have Tracy. Hi. Good morning.
Yes.
You're on the air with Inspector Bark and Scott from Joey's Legacy.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Tracy.
Well, let me just start by saying I normally would never get involved in something like this, but when I posted the Canyon Lake text message about the director putting the sick puppies in the freezer, I'm in the animal health field as a profession. So one of my veterinarians that I call on regularly contacted me and had a recent experience with Kelly Mayfield. One of her clients rushed a 2-pound puppy into her clinic and had a bag of Cefalexin 500, which, as you know, of anybody who knows medications, you don't give a 2-pound puppy 500 milligrams of Cefalexin. That's for a 50-plus size dog, pound dog. And they said that the client said that the puppy had kennel cough, and the puppy actually had raving parvo. And the client told this veterinarian that Kelly said that she was seen by a veterinarian, but there was no label on the medication. So the vet pressed her and said, well, I'd like to speak to that veterinarian because not only did they give you the wrong medication, but it was the wrong diagnosis, the wrong everything. So, but she couldn't provide one because I don't think the puppy ever saw a veterinarian. So she continued to push her, and Kelly's defense was that she was new to this and she wasn't aware it was illegal for her to administer that medication to the puppy, and the puppy did die. So I'm trying to find additional cases like that, because it's probably not the only one. Definitely something that's illegal, and possibly Kelly could face some sort of reprimand for that. But like you said, the vet board, they're not going to do anything to her. I'm practicing veterinary medicine without a license is a slap on the hand. So I don't, you know that that's going to go anywhere, but she did report it to animal control. So now they do have something to go on. So, again, I encouraged her to do that, because at the time, as upset as she was, she didn't want to report it to the vet board because she didn't think anything was going to be done. So, again, that's where we're at with Kelly. And my own personal experience, and another reason I got involved with that, is I work closely with the West Waco shelter down near the border, and they're known for having a lot of disease, distemper, parvo, and everything else. They don't vaccinate upon intake. And I started seeing puppies that were taken out of their shelter from their Facebook page, and within 48 hours, they were up on the Canyon Lake page, up for adoption, with no quarantine, nothing. So that is just a Rescue 101. Everybody should know that's been in this for any length of time. You don't do that. So
Tracy,
I feel strongly.
So let me just stop you right
yes.
there. And I know you feel strongly. We spoke at length earlier this morning. But I think the vet that you're dealing with, who pressured Kelly to obtain the name of the vet, and Kelly would not give that. And, again, this is the segment for the next half hour or so, but I wanted Tracy on here. I think we all agree that we need some type of regulatory oversight committee, all right? Because let me tell you something. Animal control for Comal County, under the sheriff, Mark Reynolds, their job, plain and simple. I don't want to go off on this, because right now I do want to talk about Joey's legacy in veterinary malpractice, where I feel that they should have been able to shut that shelter down because of the constant improper sanitization that they're not using. There's protocol in place. But with that being said, Tracy, yeah. I really would love for your doctor, I won't mention her name because you didn't mention it, but maybe she could contact Scott and see if she could come on board and be the 16th veterinarian in the country to help expose wrongdoing.
Now that, again, and as I said, this is somewhat of a conflict of interest for me because, again, I think it's going to be very difficult to get veterinarians to be ratting out other veterinarians. So that, it's a slippery slope. This I found out about, and I'm almost happy that there was not a vet that actually gave that puppy 500 milligrams of cephalexin for a cough that didn't exist. Because I don't, you know, again, it's a whole nother topic. So,
but we don't know that for sure. We don't know that for sure. I mean, we've got a doctor, veterinarian. Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me just finish because McBride, veterinarian, did not deny saying it's okay to put a live puppy in the freezer. Again, I don't want to distract off of what we're going to talk on the next segment. So, I mean, we've got some shady vets there. Scotty, how do you address what Tracy just said to you? I mean, she's got a good point.
Well, Tracy, you know, I've found 15 that are willing to call out other vets because they don't like what they see. Let me also make the point that the veterinary profession was ranked number 3 in terms of honesty and ethical behavior behind nurses and pharmacists in a 2006 Gallup poll of all occupations. They haven't been number 3 for many years. In fact, they're not even on that list of 20 anymore. And I believe part of the reason, while I fully acknowledge and most of my group fully acknowledges that the majority of veterinarians are caring and compassionate and entered the profession for the right reason, every profession has its bad actors, and these are the vets that we deal with, the bad actors.
Yep.
And if more ethical vets would be willing to step out of their comfort zone and call out their bad actor colleagues, I could almost see the ranking of the profession rise toward the number one position in that Gallup poll.
Well,
this is part of the problem.
What,
nobody wants to call them out.
What I will do, because this has piqued my interest, and since I'm in this as a profession during the day, that's what I do, is I work with vets all day. I'm just going to ask, you know, just kind of do my own little, hey, what do you think about this, and see what kind of response I get. That was just my initial, I guess, gut feeling that it would be hard to get them to come on board
and
do that. But I could be wrong.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And for every 10 veterinarians I ask to come on board, maybe I get one or two.
Right.
And it's for that reason. They don't want to call out one of their colleagues. But that just perpetuates the problem in
yes,
the profession.
I agree.
That's it.
Okay. So
I agree.
Was that for me?
I can't hear.
I didn't mean to cut you off. It's just because I really, if you could stay on the line and mute yourself, I'd really like for you to listen in, because in about 20 minutes we'll start that segment regarding Canyon Lake, and I'd love your input, but I know that you're on the road working, so if you can't contribute or you want to just hang up, that's fine, because I've got to bring on Scotty's guest that unfortunately experienced heartache, and her name is Sue, and she runs a page called Justice for Domino Veterinarian Malpractice. Is there one more thing you want to say, Tracy, or if you want to just go on mute and just jump in when you're ready?
No, I just appreciate everything you guys are doing. I'm glad to be a part of positive change and making sure that animals that have no voice, that we are their voice. So thank you for everybody listening and for what everybody does. So I am going to go on mute, but I will listen.
Go ahead. While you're on mute, I want to applaud you, Tracy, because there's not many people like you that own your own rescue. And I glanced through your page, and the fact that you're calling out one that is not up to standards. And I thank you for that, because so many people that I speak to, they say, oh, we're afraid to speak out because we don't want them to attack us or do anything to try to ruin our rescue. But if we all band together, like this group is doing in Canyon Lake. At this point, thank you, Tracy. At this point, I'm going to have Scott introduce Sue. She is a victim of veterinary malpractice with Dog Domino. Again, the Facebook page for people to go to is Justice for Domino Veterinarian Malpractice. And at this time, I'd like to invite Sue Michelle onto the show. And she's just coming on right now. Hi, Sue.
Hi, yes, thank you so much, Darcy, for allowing me to come back on your show.
You're very welcome. I'd like for Scott to give a little bit of a background, and Sue, then you jump in as well. I've got other people in the queue. They can all hear me. I know you guys are there, and you don't have to text me because I see your numbers, and I know you're there. So, Scotty, do you want to say anything to Sue before she gives us an update?
You know, Sue's been with our group for a long time. We've done our best to assist her. I support her fully. She is a victim, like many of us are, of veterinary malpractice. Her case goes a little farther. It's a bit more egregious than the typical vet malpractice case that we encounter here at Joey's Legacy. And I support her fully. Joey's Legacy supports her fully, and I hope you will as well. Go ahead, Sue.
Yes, thank you, Scott. Thank you, Darcy. So long story short, in 16 years, I never had a bad vet. I took Domino to Shannon Stanig and Exton Vet Clinic and Exton PA because He was having issues with his back with walking, and he also kept choking. So I wanted an x-ray done because I kept saying he had pneumonia. And so long story short, when I was there, I never saw her before a day in my life. This was my first visit ever. And so I went there, and she basically misdiagnosed him with a brain tumor and then took him into the back of her office and killed him with pentobarbital and then concealed it from me for over a year. I had to get Domino cut into pieces at University of Penn and sent out to UC Davis in California in order to the truth of what she did to him to be revealed. She then concealed and falsified medical records. To this day, it's been almost a year and a half, I still don't have all of his medical records. She destroyed all the video, and she admits to having video, but she destroyed it all. And now more recently, she has started to defame me on her pages, Shannon Patricia Alexander Stanek and Ex and Vet Clinic. She began to defame me, and she actually got people now to threaten me, saying that let me at her and I'll go get her, and just, you know, horrible comments like that. When I tried to defend myself on, when I saw these comments, I tried to defend myself on her page. She immediately blocked me and deleted all of my comments. So it's just awful what she did. It's bad enough that she killed my service dog with pentobarbital. Domino was my service dog. He detected when my heart rate went fast and when I passed out. But then to know that this is what she's doing to me, all because I sued her in a court of law, it's just completely awful. Another thing is I also have a pending federal case, which I'm going to add her on to, because Pennsylvania is one of the states that requires a certificate of merit, and they've actually been deemed unconstitutional in multiple states, because exactly what's happening to me is happening to a lot of other people with this certificate of merit BS. The fact that you denied discovery, like I said, I've tried to send out subpoenas. Shannon Stanek immediately blocks me. I tried to, you know, go for discovery, medical records, videos. She immediately blocks me. Every single thing I've tried to do, she immediately blocks me. So, you know, I wanted to come back on and give an update about how now she's threatening me and things. And I think this is maybe why a lot of people may be afraid to stand up for, you know, them. Like, I'm disabled. I could not defend myself against this woman or her friends if they decide to, you know, escalate, you know, their threats into actual physical harm towards me. I know Shannon Stanek talks about having a mental problem online, being admitted into a mental hospital, being placed on psychiatric medicine. I know she talks online about owning a gun. One of the other people that is doing it to me, she's also a Pennsylvania licensed veterinarian. Her name is Heather Westfall Reed. I reported her to my case with Shannon Stanek is still pending. Of course, I don't expect much to happen because we all know how the vet boards go. But I also reported Heather Westfall to the veterinarian board in Pennsylvania because of her threat to harm me. And the vet board wrote me back, until she's criminally charged for threatening me, that they're not going to do anything. And I think that's outrageous that you're allowing one of your licensed Pennsylvania veterinarians to go online and to threaten a stranger. Like, Heather Westfall doesn't know me. Peach Dookie, who's threatening me, and some of these other people that's threatening me, they don't even know me. They're listening to Shannon Stanek.
You know,
Stanek,
Sue, I'm going to tell you something, Sue. These people are your typical bullies, and these are imposters within the animal welfare community. I want to read something to you and those that are listening in the queue. People expect evil to appear in obvious forms, announcing itself, clearly displaying its intentions. That's what people expect. But that's not reality. Evil is subversive and manipulative, tricking you into thinking that it's good and tricking you into giving it your consent. So when the general public walk into a vet's office, they think, take care of my animal. They're going to provide the best possible care. And as Scott can agree, that is not the case, as Sue can agree. This Shannon that she's mentioning is a licensed vet who does mention what Sue is saying, because I verified everything Sue told me. And this woman, this other veterinarian, Heather, she also did come on the post, and I read and took screenshots. So what Sue is telling the listeners, this is actually happening. These are what I call slithering serpents that have come into the animal welfare world, and they're doing harm to our animals. Sue, I really thank you for coming back on and giving us an update. Keep fighting the fight. Please, everybody, I mentioned it again. It's her Facebook page. Give it a like. Support her. Justice for Domino, veterinarian malpractice. Sue, in closing, is there anything else you'd like to say before I get on to the next subject?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, everything I say, I definitely have proof of. Like, she cooks raw chicken next to sterile medical equipment. She posts that online. Her psychiatric history, she posts that online. Like, this girl's a very active, Shannon Stanig is a very active social media user, Facebook, TikTok, you know, you have it. So everything that I'm saying, I have proof of. I would never defame this woman because I have a case asking for over $100,000 because Domino was my service dog. And it's extremely expensive to get a new trained service dog for my medical problem. So I would never sit there and, you know, defame her. So, of course, everything that I say, I absolutely have proof of.
Thank you, Sue. And you know what? Maybe these people should undergo some type of a mental evaluation because this coincides with what we're seeing in the Canyon Lake Animal Shelter. And for these people to walk in there, local agencies such as the Animal Control Division, and they don't pick up on this, there's a problem. There's a problem. Sue, thank you for your call. I know you got a bunch of stuff to do, so I appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Thank you, Darcy. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. You bet. Thank you. Scott, I'd like to give you another couple more minutes, and please, please, please share with the audience what you're planning to do, launching what you want to do in the month of March.
We are going to start our own podcast. It will be called Tales of Betrayal, T-A-I-L-S, obviously. We're going to have guests on such as, you know, people in the animal advocacy world, such as like Darcy, for example. I would like to invite Sue back on to our new show. And we're going to have interviews with our vets, with some of our attorneys, and we're going to have some victims from our group come on and tell their story. And, you know, Darcy, it's really important that people understand that, you know, our focus is on the liars, the veterinarians that falsify records, the veterinarians that make threats, veterinarians that tell their clients that it's okay to leave your animal here overnight after surgery. We have someone that is here 24/7 to monitor all of our patients, and then as is the case in a real life story or real life case here, the animal expires overnight, and come to find out they never had a 24/7 employee to monitor. That's what's called fraud in the inducement. Vets are sued for that. There's a mandate by the AVMA. It's the VCPR agreement, veterinarian client patient relationship. Any act of negligence or malpractice is an automatic violation of that. It's a breach of contract, and veterinarians are now being sued for that. The list goes on. There's all kinds of tort law that applies to veterinarians that don't do the right thing. Scheme to defraud, concealing information, misrepresenting a procedure, or not telling the owner about a procedure that was conducted, or I'm sorry, was performed on the patient. There's all kinds of things now beyond the what we're used to hearing. You're entitled to a recovery of your veterinary costs and a sum of money known as replacement value to go, bring in another animal into your home. There's a lot more that veterinarians can be tagged with if they don't do the right thing. Once again, we fully acknowledge that the majority of the veterinary profession represent care and compassion. They do their jobs properly. They provide competent quality care. And our focus is those that don't.
Mm-hmm. Exposing the bad apples. And I don't want to say I'm pleased, but I'm pleased to see that you have grown now to 4,000 members in Joey's Legacy-VetMail victims. I don't like to see that. We don't want that many. The stories that you will read upon these people that lost their four-legged family member is very upsetting and disturbing and never should have happened. Scott, thanks again for sharing with us your latest updates, and we will definitely be doing another podcast here in a couple more weeks. And congratulations. I'm thrilled that you're launching your own podcast. We need more people to expose wrongdoing in the animal welfare community.
Thank you, Darcy, and thank you for your support as well.
Always, and same here. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. So we're going to move on, and the next person in line who's been waiting very patiently, she is still, I hope she probably hung up, and she was waiting so patiently, and I had her scheduled at this particular minute. We're trying to really keep it on schedule. Sarah, if you can call back in, my friend, that would be great. In the body of the email, you'll see that Sarah is the administrator for Justice for Dixie and Friends Fighting for Change at the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. She came on the show last time, which was January 18th. Keep in mind, here she is. She just came back on. Keep in mind, all these episodes, folks, are recorded. So Sarah and I and two other whistleblowers had a Zoom meeting. We discussed what was going on at the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. And at this time, I'd like to bring in the administrator for that page, Justice for Dixie and Friends, Fighting for Change at Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hey, Darcy. Thanks for having me back on. Can you hear me okay?
Thank you for waiting. I can hear you perfectly,
yeah,
Sarah. Thank you again for waiting.
Great.
So let's go back and talk about how you want to make change to benefit the animals at the Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so what we're fighting for and you know what we uncovered beginning of this year is we're in the city of Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. It's not the biggest city, but it's a fairly decent-sized city here. Our animal control for the city does not have its own facility. They rely on Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh to handle all the strays of our city. They work hand-in-hand with the city to provide clinic services at a discounted rate to our community. So what we uncovered at the beginning of the year and what's sadly been happening for a long time and a lot of people have just kept quiet is many of our dogs are being unfairly euthanized there. They're not reaching out to their rescue partners like myself, who I run a nonprofit dog rescue and, you know, just a few miles away from them, have worked with them in the past. But they're taking in these dogs. They are giving them a poor evaluation. You know, they're euthanizing them for things like kennel stress. There was the tipping point for this was a dog that had only been there for about 3 months. She was an owner surrender, and she was bounced around from the shelter to different foster homes. And ultimately, they decided her health was declining because of the kennel environment, and they had a committee review. And within 48 hours of that review, the dog was euthanized, never given a second chance at getting out of there. So we are fighting for them to not only be more transparent with their policies, to be more open with the public and give these dogs a chance. We're fighting for them to change their policies and better service their community and really work with us. And I think why you invited me on today is to fall in line with this whistleblowers issue that we're seeing all across the country. Since we're speaking up and we have created this Justice for Dixie Facebook group, we have other community members speaking up at what they've seen there that they feel is unjust. They are now using viewpoint discrimination. They are denying our community members their services that are taxpayer funded. They are banning people from adopting, from fostering, just based on being a part of this group or based on them expressing concern with things that have happened in the past. And it's very alarming. It's very alarming, and it's scary because everyone we've reached out to, I'm talking the mayor, city officials, elected officials, are people that are supposed to be speaking up and fighting for the community are turning a blind eye to it. They're ignoring phone calls. They're ignoring emails. We can't even get any of our local media to even entertain running a story on this because this big nonprofit, Humane Animal Rescue of Pittsburgh, brings in about $8 million a year and basically has a lot of people in their pocket. And it's really disheartening and sad that no one's hearing us.
And you know what you said, and I say it all the time, is they are turning a blind eye and a deaf ear. And I commend you, Sarah. You copied me on that email, and I'm going to tell you something. You have to continually send them an email, and you copy all those 50 email recipients over and over again, just like I did where I directed a separate email, not the one that you received, a separate email strictly for the Comal County officials. And guess what? I sent them two emails plus a reminder this morning of the podcast, and not one person wrote me back. Not one. It's like they've got their head buried in the sand. We're seeing the same situation happening in Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, with a horrible animal shelter down there, director by the name of Emily Wood. And I get copied, sometimes blind copied, on these emails. And it's sad that very little response back. You have to put the pressure, and you have to get your community to support you. If it's only one person writing an email, it's effective, but not as effective if you have multiple people. And now let me just ask you, when you talked about that dog, you named this page Justice for Dixie. Did you share today with what? Okay, so that was Dixie then, correct, that you
so
were
that
talking
was,
about?
The dog I was speaking about, yes. The dog I was speaking about that was euthanized for kennel stress and not given a second chance, her name was Dixie. The nonprofit that I run, we spoke up. We said, we'll take the dog. We found her a foster home. They denied us saving the dog. The only employee that was there advocating for that dog got fired. There's so many layers to this, and it's like really like an onion over here, you know. We didn't expect to unravel the way it has. The stories that have come out in regards to this are—it's really insane. This has been going on for years, and people know about it, but they feel helpless. They feel helpless because you have, just like we talked about, you have people ignoring you. You have people straight up ignoring the facts. You have these bullying tactics that this nonprofit public charity is using against its own community now, to where people are scared to speak up. People can't afford veterinary care and rely on these clinic services that are discounted, as I said, with taxpayer money for the community, and they're fearful that they're going to be blackballed by this organization and they don't know what they would do. So it's sad because we have so many more people that want to speak up and are just scared to.
Well, that is really what I see and hear all across the nation. But again, if you can form this team of powerful voices, you know, that have backbones made of titanium, broad shoulders, and a big mouth to blow that whistle, you will get results, Sarah. You will, and I applaud you because I know that you are the driving force behind this. But other people need to join you and work with you side by side to raise
Absolutely.
The noise level. And I applaud you for that.
Thank you. We do have it's a very slow progress here. It's kind of quiet, but we're still doing work behind the scenes. We have other planned emails to go out. The last one I had sent was directly related to the viewpoint discrimination that is going on. The next email that we're planning is going to be on an audit they had by a city controller for 2020 that was not in their favor. So we want answers. We're gonna, you know, we're gonna keep pushing. We're gonna keep growing our group of people that aren't afraid to speak up, and we're not gonna let this go. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep informing the public. We're probably, once the weather breaks here in Pittsburgh, given that it's February, we're planning more protests to draw more awareness and let the truth be told and hopefully put pressure on them to make some changes.
Yes, absolutely. Keep up the good work, Sarah. Thank you so much. Hope to have you back on the next podcast, but keep on doing what you're
doing.
Thank
you. Yeah, and be sure everyone to follow Justice for Dixie on Facebook.
You got it. It's called, I've got it written down here, it's Justice for Dixie. It's in my email here. And definitely jump on there, everybody, and give it a like. Thank you again, Sarah, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Scott, I'm going to bring you back in, but if you can mute yourself, and anytime you want to speak, just go ahead and mute yourself, Scott. You know what? Okay, he's still, I'll tell you, I'm going to put him in a chat. So I'm going to do this right now. I'm going to bring in Sunday Garcia, you guys. Sunday Garcia is a retired law enforcement officer, and she runs and co-administers the page Dam Rescues Animal Advocacy Community Forum. Let me go ahead and bring her in, and we've got some guests that we've got to get onto the call right now. Let's see. Go ahead. Sunday, welcome. Hi, Sunday.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. So, everybody, Sunday Garcia is a retired law enforcement officer. Thank you for your service. And, again, runs the group page community forum. Please do keep in mind this is a public group page. However, if you want to join or make a comment, you have to join and answer questions. Sunday, we've got some people that I'm going to bring in now, all three of them. And I'm going to ask them to mute themselves. But before I do that, I want to share with you, and I know you get the same emails I do. I pulled these off, and you know me, I like to print things out. I know you read things on the computer. But we're going to start with January 26, 2023. State agency investigates Kansas City area animal shelter after complaint. That's January 26th of this year. February 1st of this year. Owner of dog rescue faces felony charges after 78 dogs removed from home. February 10th, give or take a day. This one, I don't have the accurate date, but it was posted again yesterday. Founder of poodle rescue arrested on charges of animal cruelty here in my home state of Georgia. So just since January 26th, three, and maybe more Sunday, that are 501c3s, / rescues that got busted for animal cruelty charges. What's your thought on that, Sunday?
Well, number one, I think the IRS just hands out their 501c3s like candy. I mean, when I look up somebody and, you know, I use background apps and I go and I look up, you know, Yelp and Google reviews and I go to their state, you know, either attorney general or secretary website, I mean, it takes me maybe 5 minutes to realize that somebody's a scam artist. When, you know, you see the director or president of a rescue has, you know, five arrests and they're for writing bad checks or theft by deception, and that they have, you know, not one, two, three, four bankruptcies in their background files. You know, I just don't understand why our IRS is giving people that have, you know, fraud convictions, theft convictions, the ability to run a nonprofit taking money with no accountability whatsoever. Our IRS is what we need to go after.
I agree. I agree with you that they give every Tom, Dick, and Harry a 501c3 status, and they don't do a deep dive into the vetting. I'm going to bring in area code right now, 210. I'm going to bring you in right now. And area code 239, I'm going to bring you in, but please do me a favor and mute yourself, okay? So let me go ahead and bring in area code 210, and I'm going to have her speak. Her name is Susie, and then I'm going to bring in 239. 239 area code, please come on, but mute yourself, okay?
Totally.
All right, go ahead. Here we go.
The part that makes them look
okay.
Bad.
That is Scott. I'm going to hang him up because I keep going on. Let me hang him up. All right. Susie, you are on the air with Inspector Bark and Sunday Garcia from Scam
rescue page. Go ahead.
Hi, Darcy. Thank you for having me back again. Unfortunately,
you're welcome.
3 years later, no situation.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say to Sue and Scott, I am so terribly sorry that you had to go through all this, but I'm very proud of you for what you're doing to try to rectify the situation. Second, I want to say that, Darcy, in your opening, you said people are afraid to come forward because of the sham rescues bullying tactics. It's not just the rescues. It's the animal control officers and the sheriffs in the county that bully as well because they don't want to deal with it. And that needs to be stopped. And third of all, I want to say Tracy, I'm not going to say the name of her rescue, is the most reputable rescue, transparent, biggest, best rescue in South Texas that she does not normally get engaged in these types of things, but she is so passionate about what she does that she will not turn a blind eye. The next thing I want to say is the vet complacency.
But before, Susie, before you jump over to that, because Sunday just joined us, and I was hoping Sunday I should have had you come on earlier, who Susie's referring to is a woman I just got a hold of this morning, because on her rescue page, she called out Canyon Lake Animal Shelter on February 6th. It was a Monday morning, and she said, look, I don't normally do this on a Monday morning. And I spoke to her, and she knows you, Sunday. Her name is Tracy. Her last name is – there you go.
Paul.
That's right, Susie. Susie was
listening,
and she was on. I know you do. And I'm sorry you didn't hear her call in. She was on the road. Sunday, I'm going to let you talk with Susie, and I'm going to go into the chat room and see what these other numbers are. So, Susie, go ahead and share your story, and I'll jump back on. Okay, Sunday, if you could take over just for a minute or two. Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I was involved. Hi, I'm Susie. I was involved about 3 years ago with a sham rescue out of Houston and had a sham partner in Wilson County, Texas, Floresville, actually Lavernia, Texas, South Texas. I was going into the vet complacency that was discussed earlier in the podcast, where even the reputable vets are reluctant to turn on the non-reputable vets. With that case 3 years ago, it took a lot of pressure from the community to get the vets that were caring for these dogs that were dying of neglect to actually put in the vet records that this or this was caused due to abuse or neglect. They would treat the animals, but they were very reluctant to actually put it on records that it was caused by abuse or neglect. So that was one thing that took so long, and over 400 animals had to die before he finally got arrested.
Well, yeah, that's basically because they're afraid of, a civil lawsuit. If they come in and say, oh, this is, due to neglect, they are opening themselves up for civil lawsuits, and that's basically
absolutely
why they don't want to put
absolutely
that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But they did finally succumb to the pressure and provided, information on the vet records, which helped in court to prosecute. And also the sheriff in that county, Sheriff Tackett, was the sheriff in Wilson County for over 19 years. He was basically defending her. And if they didn't have animal control, but they would have a deputy go out to do welfare checks when people called in, and it was always everything was fine situation. Well, after finally everything went to court and she got arrested and it all came down, even the DA was refusing. Sheriff Tackett got voted out after 19 years.
What's interesting in Texas?
So the current situation. The current situation that we're dealing with Canyon Lake Animal Shelter Society, otherwise known as CLASS, the sheriff, Mark Reynolds, after 14 months of the records I've seen, is finally starting to get involved. And when you call the ACE Animal Control Dispatch, they actually have a separate dispatch from the sheriff's office. The supervisor, her last name is Glover. I think it's Kimberly. I'm not sure. Her last name is Glover.
It is Kimberly.
She's very rude.
Kimberly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's very rude, abrasive, and basically they're tired of getting these calls and they don't want to deal with it anymore. Well, they're going to – I think that's why Reynolds is starting to step in. But, you know, he needs to do his job. He should have been doing his job a year ago. I don't know how long he's been in office. But the same thing will happen to him if he doesn't do his job, because there's power in numbers. So a lot of numbers in this case.
Susie, and I know that you were just saying to Sunday before I went into the chat, and I'm going to bring both these callers in. Phyllis is the admin for the Beware Canyon Lake Animal Shelter Society. I'm going to bring you in, and if you could just mute yourself at the time being. And I'm also going to bring in the next person, but I don't want to say her name. If she wants to say her name, that's up to her. So before, ladies, you get to speak, Susie and I go back, what is it, 3-4 years ago regarding the situation. And, again, I was in the chat room, so you may have shared that with Sunday.
Yeah, Glory Pinchorn in San Carrico, Lavernia, Texas. Mm-hmm. It was about three years ago.
And you were persistent. You were tenacious. And you're doing exactly what we need you to do back then to what you're doing now. And I appreciate what you're doing. You're obtaining the reports, and I know you shared that with Sunday. Sunday's another one that will definitely make calls, emails, what have you. I'm going to ask the caller of area code 830 to unmute herself. And anytime, Phyllis, you want to jump in, again, she is with the page Beware Canyon Lake Animal Shelter Society. They're doing a bang-up job exposing wrongdoing. But area code 830, tell us your experience and what happened with the adoption from class.
So it started with when we had that last freeze. It was around, I want to say, December 22nd. And my sister had made a call out because she realized the shelter still had all the dogs in their kennels outside, and it was 17 degrees outside. So my sister made a call and got about five of us with pickup trucks to go up to class and started loading up dogs. And they didn't seem too worried about it. And I walked in and I saw all these puppies, these poor things, they were freezing. And I told them to load up the puppies in mine and my mom's truck because I was going to take the puppies home. And just ridiculous how many dogs on the outside were freezing. So I stepped in and told them, what you're going to do is you're going to empty the inside kennels and you're going to bring the dogs from the outside in. And she goes, well, we can't do that. I said, well, that's what's going to happen before I leave tonight. So I took these puppies home. My mom took hers home. My sister took five dogs home. Those two puppies I took home, they were sick, and I didn't realize that until they got all my dogs sick with kennel cough. And I treated them and my dogs and had let class know, and class said, oh, well, they weren't showing any symptoms of being sick. Mind you, when I picked them up, there was about five different kennels that had dogs in there that were coughing up a storm. And they were aware that they had kennel cough because she specifically told us we could not take those home. So about a week later when it warmed up, I had to take the puppies back because my big dogs, they really weren't appreciating that they had puppies at home. And when I took them back, all of a sudden they were doing a $23 adoption at the shelter. I'm assuming she knew half these dogs were sick and wanted to get rid of them at a cheap price. I fell in love with one of them, so I did. I went back, and I paid the $23 to adopt him. Well, when I go to adopt him, he's not in the system. So she pulls up his sister's picture on paper and changes the name and the sex of the animal and then just leaves it like that and clearly stated, oh, well, I don't know what happened. He's not even in the system. And then it turns out I took him to the vet, and he was infested with worms and parasites in his intestines. She clearly knew about the parvo outbreak, because when I took him up there to get his first set of shots, or his second set of shots that I was supposed to take him back for, she said, whatever you do, do not put your dog's feet on these floors. There is parvo running rapid at this shelter right now. So I took him to the vet. I got him tested for everything. And the only thing he had was worms.
It just shocks me and saddens me at the same time. Sorry not to. And I want to bring in the admin, and I've got to bring in area code 512. You didn't mention your name. I don't know if you want to mention your name or not, but I am telling you,
I'm good on their people.
Okay.
I'll say my name. My name's Danielle.
Hi, Danielle. All you good people that are getting the word out and sharing is working, because it's getting the attention of Sheriff Mark Reynolds. I tell people, and I think Sunday can agree with me, you tag these people, and that's what we've been doing. Let me go ahead and bring in Jennifer. This is another whistleblower, and I know she's allowing me to use her name. But before, Jennifer, if you come on, please mute yourself, because I want to introduce Phyllis, and she's going by an alias name. Phyllis, she is the admin for Beware Canyon Lake Animal Shelter Society. Oh, turn that down, yeah. Okay, mute yourself. And Phyllis, go ahead and tell us what you're seeing and what you're receiving from informants.
Yeah, so I've had this page open about a month, and it's completely blown up. I've got new people in my inbox every single day talking about the same thing that you were just talking about. Lots of puppies in kennels that are not well. People going in to adopt dogs and they're not in the system. People that are fostering dogs and try to get a hold of Kelly and getting a hold of somebody else and being told, oh, we don't have any record of that dog. So there's no paper trail of any sort going on at this rescue. There's no way for her to know who's who. There was somebody that I spoke with that had adopted a puppy and was trying to get the medical records for it, and finally got a hold of Kelly, who said, oh, well, send me a picture. And then the same day he got the medical records, and it had the same picture he sent then. So there's no way for her to know who's who or who's what. And everybody that I have in my inbox is either sending me screenshots of conversations where they've begged Kelly to take care of an animal, or where they've got proof that she just didn't.
So, look, these people, you need to direct them to write an email mm-hmm. to the sheriff. Okay, they can sit and hide behind a private message, but that's not going to get us the results we need. With that being said,
right.
And just stay with us on this. Go ahead.
I wanted to let you know that I logged in this morning and checked everything out, and either the Comal County Animal Control page is down or I've been blocked.
Okay, I will check
I went
that.
To practice
I'm sure
this morning.
It's still up. Good. Let's go ahead.
Well,
is there anything you want to... Go ahead.
Yeah, instead of... Writing the sheriff is wonderful, but this is a 501c3, and what you need to do is you need to make complaints, even though the IRS usually doesn't look at what they consider criminal complaints. You need to write the IRS. You need to do it under the 501c3 complaint, and you need to do it under a regular complaint. There's two different ways to file complaints with the IRS. But here's what you need to do. You also need to contact the Secretary of State with Texas and the Texas Attorney General. They're the ones who investigate 501c3s and if they're doing things illegally. So not just, sending emails to your local sheriff. You need to actually go to the state division.
Right. And that's something that I'm going to be sitting down today and getting a list of all those. And Darcy as well sent me an email that has a list that I need to pull emails off of and start sending stuff out.
Great, great. And well, and somebody's right.
I was going to say, the other division that you need to contact is the Department of State Health Services. It's called DSHS in Texas. Every rescue or facility has to be inspected by a veterinarian once a year, and this should change. They have the option, the ability to pay their personal veterinarian to do the inspection, but you need to get the inspections, and you need to get on, there's, I believe, 11 zones in the state of Texas, and you need to find out which zone you're in, and you need to get on basically their butts and tell them, look, this is what's happening in this facility. There is no way they should have passed this Z3 zoonosis inspection. And you need to keep on top of them as well.
Right. Well, here's the thing. We know that paperwork is in shambles, okay? We know that the animal control people have gone in there, Supervisor Kimberly Glover. Right then and there, if I was an ACO, I'd go, okay, kennel number one, I need to see the records for that dog. Kennel number two, and go right down the list. Keep in mind, and those that are on the line with us, you can unmute yourself. There's not only dogs and cats in this place. There's birds, big birds.
Snakes.
There's rabbits.
There's birds, rabbits, pigs, chickens.
I mean, what have we got going here? How can animal control
go in there?
There's
birds, rabbits, the chickens in the back are bare, no feathers.
There's a pig back there.
There's two little piglets.
Let me have Jennifer speak. And because on that note, ladies, it bothers me because there is a protocol in place for proper sanitation, proper way of cleaning. I believe you first start and you clean the puppies' kennels, okay? They're the most vulnerable to disease. They're not doing this. And that is really where I believe animal control should have been able to give them a violation on not proper documents, okay? And the fact that there's an outbreak continuously. We've seen it happen going back from January of 2022. Let us go ahead and mute ourselves and give Jennifer time to speak and share her story. Jennifer, thank you.
Hi. Can you all hear me?
Hi there. Yes.
Okay. So first I need to clear up a couple of things. By all means, am I not defending Kelly or what the bad things that have happened, but I do need to clear up. The first thing is I need to say that the puppies were getting cleaned. I was in charge of cleaning the puppy room when I was there. And there was people assigned. Like we had people for the outside dogs and people for the inside dogs, and the puppies were usually supposed to be inside, but when there wasn't room for them, they would get put, she would put them out wherever she could fit them in one of those outdoor kennels or whatever. She was bringing them in so fast that there was no way to keep up and they weren't being quarantined and they weren't being separated. When they're coming in, they're just all getting thrown into pop-up kennels in the lobby. And then from there, you take and set up a pin and put them in a pin in the room with all the other puppies, which was totally not okay. I mean, there was no intake vaccinations being done, no quarantine being done. The front desk lady was down to 2 days a week. So the paperwork was stacked. I mean, it was stacked up when I got there because the front desk lady had been off for this and off for that. You know, she was sick and she had things going on in her life. And so it got stacked up and built up. from the time that I was there. I don't know what it was like prior to that. I can't speak on that, but I know the paperwork was pretty much backed up from there. No, half the time she doesn't know who has the dogs. They're not in the system. I don't know about the falsifying records. I believe that is true, because if she doesn't have it, then she will have to, and if people were getting it, she was having to supply it somehow. You know, I didn't witness anything like that.
Well, let me just stop you right there. You heard, maybe you didn't hear this, but Danielle saw her do that. I spoke to another guy that had adopted a puppy.
Saying, that's what I said. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I didn't witness that happen.
I need to ask you a specific question. When were you there? What time frame?
I started the beginning of last January, and I left on January 18th. So I was there just a little over a year.
Okay. So from 2022 to 2023. I want to take you to the time where the text message that has been circulating, the evidence of what Kelly told you regarding a puppy that you were holding.
Okay. I actually had two puppies. They were from the same litter. They had gotten foster to adopt, and the people called and said the puppies were not doing well. They were sick, da 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 da. And so Kelly told them to bring the puppies back. They brought the puppies back. The first one was the little brindle one. Her name was Sweet Fiona. And the lady brought her back and said, you know, once you get her meds and everything, I'll take her home. So she did go to the vet, and we did get medication for the puppy. And when the lady came back, I explained to her how to do the medication. I gave her, you know, everything that it all came in straight from the vet, gave it to her. She took the puppy home, and it still was not doing well, and she wasn't being able to take care of it. The puppy did have parvo, like I said, and so she brought it back. And at the same time that she was bringing that back, somebody was calling about one of the siblings. That one's name was Memo. The people had named it Memo. So they brought that one back. Kelly told me they're bringing a sibling back from that litter too. And I had already had parvo at my house, so I always took the parvo puppies home and took care of them and nursed them back to health. So I took the puppies home, and they were doing well. They got past the parvo. They were eating, and they had developed a cough. And so I told her, I was keeping her updated as I was going to work. I'm like, you know, they're eating and stuff, but now they're coughing. And, the main one was the little brindle one, which was Sweet Fiona. She had started to develop neurological issues. I had never seen what distemper looked like, so I started Googling things and researching it, and all the symptoms that she was showing was distemper. So I told Kelly, I said, I'm pretty sure this little one has distemper, like it's really bad, like she's, you know, she's shaking, and then she had a seizure, and I let her know she had a seizure, and I told her, I said, it's got to be distemper. She told me to go ahead and make them a vet appointment. So I did. The vet could not see them for 4 days. They had an appointment. Excuse me. I'm sorry. They had an appointment the day after they passed. It was at 10:30 in the morning. And that afternoon, I was off work that day. And that afternoon, I called Kelly and I said, this puppy is really bad. Like I don't know what to do. She's in a lot of pain. And she said, she sent me up to the shelter to get gabapentin. So I went and I got a gabapentin, and I gave the puppy a gabapentin, and it was not subsiding. And I just was, you know, holding the puppy and loving on her and trying to keep her from stuff. And I was taking videos. I do have videos of what, you know, so that I could show Kelly and the vet. And And later on, towards the evening, about 6 o'clock-ish, I call her. I had to come over to my dad's. I was, like, freaking out, stressing out. My dad lives across the street. I came over to my dad's, and I was pacing around in the spare bedroom, and I called Kelly, and I said, Kelly, this is really bad. Like, I don't know what to do. This is so bad. And she said, well, I guess you could take it to Fur and Feather and spend your evening there. And I said, okay. And she said, no, don't do that. They have an appointment tomorrow. Just keep it comfortable until tomorrow. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, okay. I mean, what else can I do? You know, I'm doing what I'm instructed to do. So I stressfully go back home and I'm, you know, taking the best care of this puppy that I possibly can. I mean, it's not eating, it's not drinking, it's just, you know, continuously shaking and having seizures. And it was about a little after 10 o'clock, and this puppy had stopped shaking so much but was crying immensely. Like, and it was barely breathing. And so I sent her a text message. And I said, the brindle one is almost gone, because she doesn't know their names. She doesn't know who they – if I tell her a name, she's going to say, who's that? Which was normally the response I got when I gave her a name. I said, the brindle one is almost gone. And she replied with, there are humane ways to take it out of its body. I mean, y'all have read the text. It's there. That's what she told me to do. I did not do that to that puppy. I did not text her after that. I did not call her after that. I did not know what to do, and I just held – I had the puppy in a fuzzy blanket like it had been all day, and I held her, and I cried, and I kissed her head, and I kept telling her how sorry I was, and I couldn't help her, and she passed away in my arms. And when I woke up the next morning, because the other puppy wasn't as bad, it was just – it was not breathing and stuff, and I had the medication that the vet had given me when they first went in, and there was like a little nebulizer inhaler, and so I had been, you know, giving her medicine like I was supposed to, and she just, you know, seemed like she was having a hard time breathing. When I woke up the next morning, she had also passed. And
so I took both of them
to the vet and had the vet
dispose
of the bodies properly and everything. And I explained to the vet what had happened, and that was.
You know, Jennifer, I'm just going to say what I keep pinned to my external computer, and I think it really holds true, and I'll let Sunday talk after this and have the other guests. I believe that these people, like this Kelly Mayfield, her husband Daryl Mayfield, who was a cop, go figure.
Andy worked for Animal Control.
Individuals, oh, great. These type of individuals are emotionally detached, they're completely removed, and they're totally desensitized. Before you hang up, Susie, I just got your text. Is there anything you want to say before you hang up and then we'll let the other folks go ahead.
Yes,
Susie,
I just wanted to say.
Up, so.
I have to hang up. So I just want to say this. Please, anybody bitching and complaining on the social media Beware site and the other group, Citizens Against Class, vent on social media, but report it. It has to be reported. Even if you think animal control is doing nothing, there will be a record there of it. Second, I witnessed myself Kelly falsifying records. I cannot go further into any other information because of the ongoing investigation. But she done that. I have it on video. I have it on audio, and I have it. I was right there on several occasions. So that's all I'm going to add. Please contact Animal Control. If you have difficulty with them, contact Sheriff Mark Reynolds. And if he fails to follow through, he'll be gone as well. He will get taken down. We're just trying to prevent as many more deaths as possible. Glory Penshorn, was finally arrested, but over 400 animals had to die. Just, we don't want it. She may be up to that count already. I don't know, but
I cannot,
people need to follow in and not just vent on social media. They need to follow through with vet records, with pictures, with evidence for the sheriff to do something.
I have an appointment with the sheriff today.
Awesome.
Great. Great. Bring,
but please encourage everybody else.
To see.
Yeah, encourage everybody else who's writing about their experience. Just sometimes they don't want to get involved, but if they care about the animals and the future animals, the animals that are currently in her so-called care that are in jeopardy, they need to make a report. Vent on social media all you want, but report it. And that's all I have to say. I
can't
say much more because I'm involved in the investigation, so I need to go. Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you so much.
On.
You bet. Go ahead. Sunday, what would you like to handle and what the experience?
On that page, they need to list the direct link so that all you have to do is click on the link and it'll take you right to the complaint forms where, you know, if it takes you 2 minutes to write a comment on a post on their page, take that 2 minutes and fill out the complaint form on the link. It's very, very easy. Just say what you know. You don't have to fabricate. You don't have to submit anything. Let them investigate it.
I will do that. I need to address one more thing. So when the lady that says that she came up there in the night, Danielle, right? No, the other girl.
Yes.
When she came up there, I was the one that was up there, and I cared very much. I have to say, I did care very much. I did say that you guys were asking me what animals to take, and I did tell you, you can't take the kennel cop dogs and all of that stuff. I said, whatever dogs you take from the inside will free up the kennels so that I can move them from outside to the inside. I was up there. Yes.
Yes. No, it was the other girl that was behind you, not you. You actually, me and my sister, Pam, that's my sister.
Yes.
We've been talking about you, and you have, out of everybody at that shelter, you were the best one that would communicate with us. We couldn't get a hold of Kelly, and my sister would tell me, get a hold of Jennifer. And you were the one I contacted to bring the puppies back.
Yes, ma'am,
and then
I remember.
When I did get a hold of Kelly and informed her after I spoke to you about the kennel costs.
Yes, ma'am.
She said that those puppies were too young to have kennel cough, and that wasn't the case.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had spoke to you because, remember, I had told you that those puppies, they got my puppy sick. And they weren't showing signs of kennel cough, but I did treat those puppies myself and all my other dogs before I dropped them back off at the shelter. But that's what Kelly had to say to me, that they were too young to have kennel cough, and that's not the case. But I still do have that puppy, and he's doing wonderful, just so y'all know.
Good, I'm glad.
Stay with us, but just mute yourself, and Sunday, you're going to appreciate the next guest. I didn't realize she was calling in. This is the woman that she will tell you that on the phone for 5.5 hours to talk to the charities and nonprofit division of the IRS. So everybody, if you could just go ahead and mute yourself, but if you want to jump on, just unmute. I'm going to bring in Julia from Kentucky. Julia Sharp, there you are. Hello there, Julia.
Hi, everybody. I'm hearing so much in this show. I mean, I'm just sitting here on pins and needles. First, I want to say when you've got problems with your shelter, look to the shelter, but also look at your community, okay? The animals are coming from somewhere. And lately, I've been in rescue for over 25 years. And lately, I'm starting to believe that we're going to have to evolve again, and we're going to have to start doing more outreach to the communities we serve and getting more spay and neuter done. I don't know what the answers are, but our shelters are overflowing coast to coast. this isn't just a local issue. It's everywhere. You've got to go to your council meetings. That's where you're going to get your most done. You have to put these politicians on the spot.
Julia,
yes.
Matter of fact, there's one tomorrow in Canyon Lake.
There you go.
And they're posting it. Yep.
And we're all going.
This is excellent information.
Put them on the spot. Make them answer to their constituents. Pose everything as they can. Give the facts and then make them answer it. Don't let them back down. Don't go away. I didn't go away for 20 years. It took me almost 20 years to get Randy Skaggs at the Trixie Foundation stopped. And he's back operating again. He's got animals again. But I don't think he's ever going to wind up with the number of animals that we pulled out of there. I think those days are over for him. At least I hope they are. Our shelter, when we started all those years ago, they were euthanizing 60 to 80 dogs a month on one day. The vet would come in and put everything down that had been there over 5 days. Me and two other tired women turned a very high-kill shelter into a low-kill model facility, and it took us about 4 years to do that. So where there's a will, there's a way. And it sounds like you all have a lot going on, and I'm glad to see it.
What's interesting is I had a friend who was in a conversation this past week with a person that transports. Canyon Lake, as busy as they are, and all the animals that they had there, they were still pulling street dogs, street puppies from the RGV. That's something that I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, puppies are business, aren't they?
Yep.
You know,
money.
Everybody wants the puppies. Everybody wants the puppies, you know. All of this rescue on Facebook, that's been the worst thing that could happen to rescue in so many ways was Facebook, because so many scammers figured out, well, we throw up some cute pictures of dogs and we get a lot of money out of it. I'm always wary when I see these posts that have a lot of pledges, because that's where your hoarders and your exploiters are getting their dogs. They're watching these dogs that have a lot of money attached to them. They will pull these dogs, they'll collect the donations, and a lot of times those poor animals, the snacks and the water that they got on transport was the last they ever had, because now they're in the hands of an exploiter hoarder, and there's nothing worse.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the puppies are money. That's why that's happening. It's sad.
Well,
Julia, the answers are, but I know we've got to do something.
Julia, when you came on in November, I think the podcast was, and it was a rainy day, and I want you to share with the listeners and the panel what you decided to do on that day when you made that call and the conversation you had, the charity and nonprofit division.
Yes. Well, I didn't have anything to do, so I just sat here with my phone plugged in and listening to the hold music all day, and I finally got somebody on the phone. And I was tired after sitting there all day, so I was kind of, you know, emotional and honest with them and told them what I'd been going through. And it's like, oh, well, you're filling out the wrong form. You're reporting a nonprofit. There's only 4 people in the nonprofit office in D.C. And I was like, what? 4 people. Said, you have to report them as an individual using a nonprofit to defraud the public. And that's form 3949A. Once I filled out that form and reported this person, we started seeing letters from the IRS on his desk. So it's a big difference there. From 4 people in the nonprofit division to hundreds of people in the criminal investigation division. That's the difference between the 2 forms you send. It's a pain in the butt because you have to fill it out physically and you have to put it in the mail, and you're not going to get a reply back. They're not going to send you anything back and tell you.
If you do
get
a reply,
it's the,
yeah, and it's ridiculous. It's a standard letter.
Yes,
they don't even put the name of the organization. You know, so
right.
I get a letter
it's
back in the mail, and I'm like,
Yeah, it's just like this blanket form letter that you get if you fill out the one that you mail in to the criminal investigation. You're not going to get anything back. You're not going to, but they got it. You better believe they got it. So, and they're looking at it. So, because the guy that we deal with, he would post pictures, and one of our wonderful people, Linda, zoomed in and said, "Oh, look, letters from the IRS on his desk." So that's when that started happening, when we filled out the good form.
That's how you knew, is because he can't stop flapping his jaw, this Randy Skaggs there in Kentucky where Julia is based. Who you were just speaking with is Sunday Garcia. She is a retired law enforcement officer. She helps run the page Scam Rescues Animal Advocacy Community Forum. And she will tell me and will share. She's always sending complaints to the IRS. And she'll, 7 months later, Sunday, you get this
generic letter? I just got a
letter
back. 7 months. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. That's because there's only 4 people in that office. I mean, how do you get anything done?
I found this lady. She was charged up in New York, and her 501, she was ordered to relinquish her 501c3 because of the criminal charges of cruelty and neglect against her. And what did she do? She moved to Tennessee, and the IRS gave her another 501c3. Actually, she has 2 now.
Well, did you see the New York Times article where the man had 72 different charities all registered to the same address?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, all these people were upset about the government hiring these IRS agents, and I'm like, please, bring them on. We need them.
Here's what I'm finding that a lot of people in Texas are doing. They're creating 3 501c3s. They're creating the rescue that pulls the dogs. They're then creating the boarding facility that houses the dogs. And then they're creating a transport company that transports the dogs. They have no other jobs, and they have 3 501c3s in their names.
Oh, nonprofit work's been very, very good to them, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, it has. And it's happening more and more and more.
My little rescue, I'm a very reputable 501c3, and I always tell people 501c3 is pointless. It is not an indicator of quality. I get so tired of shelters asking for a 501c3 letter. That doesn't mean you're sending those dogs to a good place. Nobody in our organization takes a salary or compensation of any kind. Every penny we take goes to vet bills and to our administrative things that we have, you know, a few like post office box, you know, it's all going to the dogs. We don't play games with it. And so many people do. It's really sad how many people are out there just using 501c3 for their own gain. It's disgusting.
Well, you know, with that being said, the people that have kindly muted themselves, the admin, Phyllis, if you want to come on and mention the name of your page to Julia, I'd love for her to follow your page. And you've been listening from the beginning, Julia, of the show?
Yes. I missed a few minutes, but I've been listening since the beginning.
Okay.
So
we've had a lot of people call in. We've also talked about other cases that are happening throughout the country, and we are seeing a bunch of bad apples that are coming into this animal welfare community or the other, and they've got to be stopped. And Sunday's right. I'll do a deep dive, and we'll compare cases. And the IRS is giving every Tom, Dick, and Harry a 501c3. They don't care who it is. These foundations that help to enable these scammers, when you try to tell them, all they'll tell you is, as Sunday knows, oh, well, we checked. They have a 501c3. Some are even invalid, and they still are giving them grant money. And you try to tell them this is what's happening. They want to continue to keep their head in the sand. They want the blinders to stay on. And I always say, you know, the toughest pill to swallow is the truth. Phyllis, are you still there? Do you want to Do you want to contribute anything, Phyllis or Jennifer or Danielle?
Yeah, I'm here. So I wanted to project a little bit earlier, but if Jennifer's still here, I wanted to tell her that majority of the people that I speak to have told me they could hardly ever reach Kelly, if at all. The one person they could reach was Jennifer. So in all of this, she's not a person that I don't want her to feel like any of this is directed towards her, because on my page, it's Beware Any Lake Animal Shelter Society. Everything that I'm getting is against me and Daryl.
As far as
that text message she sent out to Jennifer, she replied specifically that it's a humane way of euthanasia. It is not. It is very slow. It is very painful, and nobody should consider that at any point.
No.
Totally agree.
Well, let me share, and Jennifer, you are the main whistleblower, and I'm thrilled to know that you are meeting with the sheriff, because I think what you need to bring with you is the statute, Section 821.052, Methods of Euthanasia. Putting a puppy in the freezer is not legal. What they're doing is illegal. And there is, chapter is 821. I can send it to you before you head to the meeting. I'll email it to you, whatever way. But there are certain ways to properly euthanize. And what they're doing there, got to let him know. And don't, like Julia said, this is with the sheriff. And the Animal Control Division reports to him. And either not getting or not checking, or he doesn't care, but it's been going on way too long. And you all need to stand up and not back down. As Julia said, don't let them sugarcoat this. And they need my email that I specifically wrote to just the Comal County officials. I wrote, you need to terminate Daryl and Kelly Mayfield. A lot of people get offended by the word fired. You know what I get offended by? I get offended by these people that keep allowing them to hurt these animals.
I'd like to also say that during that year that I was there, I cannot tell you how many puppies and dogs I saw suffer and die right there in the shelter. Literally, they didn't get put in a freezer or anything. They just got, they were in their pen and they died. I repeatedly would tell her, these puppies aren't doing good. I have text messages of that as well and pictures of that as well. That is all going to be put out there. I literally lost count. I cannot tell you the amount of death and suffering that I saw in that place. And if nothing happens from this, if they continue another shelter or this shelter, I pray that they do not let any more suffer, because it was horrifying. When I quit, my exact words to her were, I emotionally and mentally cannot handle this any longer.
That's why you don't go away. That's why you don't go away. That's why you keep speaking out, and that's why you keep fighting. I know what you're feeling, because we felt it.
My puppy that I just had, Bree, that went viral, she was sick at the shelter. In that article, it says they don't know if she was sick at the shelter. We did a snap test, a parvo snap test, and she tested positive for parvo at the shelter. That is the reason I brought her home, was because she had parvo. And the exact same thing that happened with that other puppy started happening with her, and I immediately took action on my own and took her to the vet, and the community pulled through and helped me pay for her vet bills. And she fought so hard for her poor little life. She was a strong little girl, and I am trying to speak for all of the dogs, the ones that are gone and the ones that are still here, because they do not have a voice.
I do not know. I cannot express to the people that are posting on those pages enough. Please, I'm begging you to come forward with the sheriff, with the attorney general, with all of them. Please, we cannot let these dogs suffer like this anymore.
You're right, Jennifer, and thank you. Thank you for coming forward. But, Julia, I want you to do me a favor. On Facebook, I want you to go to my Inspector Bark, and I want you to go down to where you see the post about Major. I want you to look at those two videos. It's very important. And everybody listening, if you haven't seen these two videos, they're only 3 minutes each. We've got another caller in the queue, so I'll bring them on in a minute. But there's two videos, each under 3 minutes. Kelly and Gerald Mayfield rented a home in the adjoining town, and I'm going to botch the name. Is it called New Buffels? New Buffels?
Bronzeville.
New Bronzeville.
Thank you. I knew I'd botch it. And they did 8,000 of this home. Let me explain to you. And I know this because I spoke to the landlord. Now, they have now relocated for the past. Mute yourself, who's ever making that noise, if you can mute yourself. You can still hear me. Just mute yourself. They now have taken occupancy in another rental home, 14, 15 months now, okay, in Canyon Lake by a woman by the name of Angela Gilstrap, who was affiliated with this shelter class, who literally gave Daryl and Kelly Mayfield the keys, and here you go, I'm done. She gives them a property to rent. See you, what this landlord told me and what her contractor witnessed, they had to go in with hazmat gear. But get this, on the second floor, they had two minor children living there at the time. Okay, now this is only about 14 months ago. The toilet was slowly leaking, so they had to replace the flooring. But on top of that, the toilet was filled to the rim. And what they were doing, I believe they were probably two boys, there were jugs of water, jugs, in the closets, minor children, filled with urine.
There was a boy and a girl.
They ripped up, okay, thank you. They ripped up all the flooring, Daryl Mayfield, destroyed his home, and the AC guy company called her and said, you need to get here and see your house. He had gone because air conditioning problem. He got on his hands and knees. His pants were covered with urine. He had to go home and change. These are the monsters. These are the monsters, ladies and gentlemen, that are supposed to be in the animals in the shelter. And if you look up the word shelter, it's a safe haven for these animals. You know what it is in Canyon Lake, Animal Shelter Services? It's hell for these animals. It's hell. And the devil's the show. Hold your thought.
This is just disgusting. I'm looking at these videos. This is disgusting. This is just disgusting.
Why wasn't Child Protective Services called on that?
Let me tell you, Susie, who was on, she tried calling, and she may still be listening. I tried calling. They put you on hold forever, okay? She left a mess, called her back. But get this. On a recording with Animal Control, the dispatcher is Brenda. I said to her, this is a health problem. We need to call in the health department as well. Work side by side. Oh, no, we don't do that. So we're dealing with a bunch of clowns. Hold on. 830 area code. You laugh. 830 area code. You are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. Do you wish to say your name?
This is Amy.
Hi, Amy. What would you like to share with us? Hi.
First, I wanted to say, welcome. Jennifer was so on that I'm so sorry for everything that you have been going through. That has to be very stressful. It has been making me cry as well. I'm so sorry for that. I know I
Thank
don't want
you.
To make up time also. But Jennifer probably remembers me also. I've dealt with her. And as the other girl said, it is very hard to get a hold of anyone at that shelter. It took me 4 weeks to even get a hold of someone about my dog's medical history and everything. I was mostly calling in to remind everyone of the experience for me of the prices of some of the animals that have been for adoption, as mine was for $1,000, and since I had foster, was $500. And that I had known that some of the other animals there have been out for adoption. I think some of the fees were $1,000 on them. I wanted to remind some people who might be going out tomorrow to speak, since I will not be able to be there, in case that helps. I don't know what everything does help. I know this is just my experience, and wanted to remind everyone about some of the prices that they have been doing for the adoption fees.
Okay. And again, you're mentioning about the commissioner's meeting tomorrow morning, correct?
Right.
Amy?
Yeah.
Right.
The more people, the better. We've got to be the voice for the animals.
And when I first got my dog, I had, when I fostered her, she didn't have kennel cough. So, Jennifer, thank you for keeping in contact with me, too. Like I said, I wasn't able to get a hold of anybody. You were a very much big help for me. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Amy, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Julia, you were looking at the videos. I don't know if you had time to look at the second one. Again, they're short videos. What's your take on that?
Yes, that's just disgusting. That is mortifying. And they're going to do it again. People that do things like this keep doing things like this. They're going to do this again.
Yeah, hoarding, the recidivism rate is 100%. 100%
exactly.
Without intervention.
Yes. And,
I think it's important to point out that she has done this before.
Not necessarily in regards to the house.
They
don't just up and start doing this. They've done this before, and they will continue to do this. Like she said, recidivism is 100% without intervention. And this is just mortifying. And they had children in here. You know,
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine and I always say these people are like anaerobes, you know, that bacteria that can survive in the most brutal conditions, mm-hmm. you know, things that would kill us. They managed to live just fine in. I would die in that.
Right.
I would die in a mess like that. Oh, my God.
Terrible. They left all
an
that
impact,
behind, by the way, because I asked the landlord. I said, how did you have access in? I see furniture. She said they left that. So now I
say there's the impact on these people.
Would you say?
I think she was saying that it didn't only impact the animals. These people are also impacting citizens. I mean, look at this woman. She's out $60,000.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. This lady has lost a lot of money on her properties now, and this is going to make her wary in the future, you know. How is she ever going to trust anybody? Let's say a family wants to move in and they've got a wonderful dog.
Mm-hmm.
This landlady's going to look at him sideways now. I don't know. I had some problems with animals before. You know, this hurts
everybody.
Well,
Sunday's group over at Scam Rescues, you had a similar situation over there Sunday regarding another woman that was a landlord. And it was a rescue.
Oh, yeah. And this is what I have a problem with. You had a lady on earlier talking about Pennsylvania. Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, several other states, they use the 501c3 SPCAs to do their investigations. I have a problem with that because they are a nonprofit. They survive on getting donations. How do you go out and investigate somebody who's been giving you donations? So this woman, she rented. And she rented to a rescue. They came out and took her dogs away, and they didn't prosecute her. And they're like, well, we really wanted to prosecute her, but our SPCA officer didn't feel there was enough evidence.
or not that there wasn't enough evidence, he didn't feel that we would get, you know, a conviction on her. Never presented it to the district attorney. And I said, just present it to the district attorney, because you can offer a pretrial diversion, which more than likely most people take. Tell this woman, you have to go to counseling. You must get emotional counseling for your hoarding. And if she doesn't complete the counseling, then she can be charged, you know, prosecuted criminally.
Right.
This woman would have taken it. It would have gotten her the help she needed to stop the hoarding. She destroyed this woman's home, destroyed it.
Oh,
and this
wow.
woman is getting no help from anybody.
Well, the one that I deal with destroyed his own stuff. I mean, it's his property. He owns it outright. He drug the criminal case, 479 criminal charges over two seizures from this guy. He drug the court case out for 5 years and then finally took diversion. And it was literally a slap on the wrist. He
mm-hmm.
is currently rebuilding his hoard. You know, there was nothing punitive in his diversion at all, at all. He's not had to pay any fines. You know, he's not had to pay for his crimes in any way, shape, or form. And we just keep saying, well, he's 72 years old. Hopefully, you know, the high blood pressure will take care of him real soon. You know, what else are
well,
we going to do?
I've dealt with several counties in Texas. And, you know, I'm like, okay, this person is a rescue. They have hundreds of dogs on their property. They must be licensed as a shelter, and they need to be inspected. There's no way that they can pass. And at least that gets the foot in the door that says you have to come up to a certain code to bring these in. But they're like, well, no, they're nice people. They're nice people, and they're just
yeah.
helping animals. And it's like, no,
yeah.
you have to look at a rescue just as Joe Smo citizen. If you're going to convict Joe Smo over here because he's hoarding, well, then you need to do it to a rescue as well. I love rescue.
Exactly.
I'm a bottle baby. I love rescue. All the people come on and say, I'm a troll, that I'm this other person, that I hate animals and I hate rescue. I bottle feed. I'm up every 2 hours all the time feeding kittens.
Bless
you know,
your heart, because I
rescue.
Do feed your dogs. I couldn't handle puppies.
So
it takes all of us, doesn't it?
It does. But the thing is, hold the rescues to the same standard that you do citizens. Don't give
exactly.
them a break because they're trying to help. No, a lot of them are trying to help because they make money off of it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them are helping themselves. You
yeah.
know, Randy Skaggs went to lots of concerts, and he had lots of fun on, you know, the donor dime.
Tell the audience, what year was it when he was charged with how many counts? Well,
2018, he was charged with 179 counts of cruelty to animals and 179 counts of no rabies vaccines on those animals. In 2020, he was charged with 12 counts of improper disposal of dead animals and 109 counts of cruelty to animals in the second degree.
Why don't you tell
and,
us the page that you run as well so we can have our followers follow that.
Yes, I run Stop the Trixie Foundation, a.k.a. the Gulag. I call it the Gulag of Despair, and that's what it was for many, many, many years. He's trying to do it again. Like I said, he's got 13 animals right now that we know of, but he's actively seeking more animals. He's posting about pretty frequently. He's wanting farm animals that he knows nothing about. He already nearly killed one pig. And my rescue wound up paying $3,500 to save that pig. And he's got another pig. And he's doing exactly what he did before, putting the pig with dogs. Dogs and pigs don't mix as a rule of thumb. And that's what happened to the first pig. Dogs mauled it. And he's putting a pig with dogs again. You know, this guy.
And he let the pig sit in a circular little baby plastic tub or something, you told me, correct?
Yeah, stuffed the pig when she got hurt. Instead of seeking vet care, he stuffed her in a kiddie pool
and left her there for about 30 hours. By the time animal control got the pig from him and to me, she was covered with thousands of fly eggs and maggots.
Mm-hmm. And this guy is pretending to be a rescue. Another one that's a devil in disguise. 4 minutes left. I want to stay on the phone, everybody. Anybody, Jennifer, Danielle, jump in. Phyllis, jump in. We've got less than 4 minutes, and I want to really drive this message home to the sheriff and everybody else that should be doing their job to eliminate these two monsters.
So I just want to say I've seen a couple of posts on Kelly trying to sell the place. I don't know how she's even getting away with that. Is it even her property? Like, I mean, a lot of us are confused on why she's even trying to sell it and get out of there. I thought that was given to her.
I think she's trying to run
herself.
I don't know enough about it myself, so I can't answer that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a rumor. I don't know how you can 501c3. It's got to be it's got to be transferable. I don't know that, but what I do know is that needs to and do something, and not only speak up, but like Sunday mentioned, like Julia mentioned, addressing the commissioners, writing to the local officials, putting the pressure on them, and in addition to having the attorneys general, the IRS. It's time consuming. Look, I do this on my own.
Print everything. Print everything before mm-hmm. your meeting. Show up to that meeting with so much paper. Overwhelm them. Make that, you know, use it as a prop. Print the laws off so you have them right there on hand and you can read them off faster than they can question you.
Mm-hmm. Don't think animal control knows their own laws. Apparently they don't.
They don't.
So we need
they
to
don't.
Educate
no,
them.
They don't.
And that's what Julia said. Right, right. So, but keep in mind, you each will have a time to present, and usually they only allow 3 minutes to speak. But
yes.
You need to go over, just keep talking. Be the voice for those animals. Jennifer, are you going to be there tomorrow?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and
I'll
you also have
well.
A meeting with the sheriff today?
This afternoon.
Do you need those statues that I quoted about proper
nation? If you can email them to me, that would be great.
Okay.
If you have a decent relationship with the sheriff, take snacks. If you can, take cookies, take snacks. Take something to win him over to your side. I know that sounds silly, but these are things that we've used over the years that have helped. You know, take some donuts.
Well,
hey, I just brought
you,
some snacks for our meeting.
Tagging him. We are tagging Sheriff Mark from Comal County on these exposed pages, which if you see in the body of that post on Inspector Bark, you'll see the link of the two pages and the admin
billet. I have complete confidence that Sheriff Reynolds is going to do the right thing with the evidence that I have. I've heard really good things about him being a animal lover and stuff like that. I'm really putting it in God's hands. Teddy, stop, Bubba. But yeah.
Good.
And
well,
he is seeing what's
I
being posted because he's commented on it.
Yes, he has. And I've seen that. Ladies, I am going to have to end it here. We've got only 10 seconds left. I want to thank everybody for contributing. And I am going to leave here. That's why we moved it up an hour so I can get to my dentist appointment. But everybody, thank you so much. We are officially off the air right now, so we're no longer recording as of 5 seconds ago. Sunday, a special thank you to you. Julia, a big thank you to you for calling. I appreciate everything you tell us to help these whistleblowers, and especially to you, Jennifer. You and I have spoken over the past couple weeks. I've spoken to Phyllis numerous times. And Danielle, I thank you also for coming forward. And everybody else listening, thank you. Thank you for listening, and we'll let you know the next podcast when it's going to be. All right, everybody?
Well, I'll be there with y'all in spirit tomorrow. Awesome. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck, everybody.
Thank you.
Good luck. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.